The first epistle of John the Apostle, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Interestingly, if you consider the last chapter, he had talked how we should walk as he walked. We would, live our lives in the flesh as he lived his life, which means, in its essence, righteously, holy, godly, eschewing evil. And that we who were once sinful would no longer walk as we had once walked. That is the message of the New Testament. And remember, in the last chapter, the last couple of verses, we are told to abide in him, so when he appears, we're going to have confidence and not shame. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does righteousness is born of him. That's important going into the next thought. I think it is. That's why I reiterate it. It's about being born of him. And he says, behold, now are we the sons of God. Well, wait. So now, verse 1 of this chapter. Look at the kind of love God has showed us. That we should be called his sons. Do you think that's a bit of a stretch for a man? To be called the sons of God. I don't mean the son of God, Jesus. I mean that we sinful men, who are not begotten of God in the flesh, but rather that we should be begotten of God in the Spirit, that his seed should be implanted in us, and that we would become the sons of God as Paul. You know, as many as received him, gave he... Oh, that's actually from the book of Gospel of John. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. But Paul does speak a lot of the sons of God, how we are, God is adopting us. He gives us the adoption of sons. He sends forth the spirit of his sons so that we could have this feeling of being a son of God. And look to him as our father. Though we be no different than anybody else, really. The difference with us is that God, before the foundation of the world, he knew us, not because we did anything, but we hadn't even existed, but he knew us in the sense of he foreknew us, and he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. He made the son, and he said, this is the image to which those who I will adopt, they're going to conform to this image. Being a Christian is about conforming to the image of Christ. To become Christ. Not to become merely, not that we claim to be Christ as opposed to him or in his place. We claim to be the unique Son of God as he was the unique Son of God. But rather, that we are adopted as his brothers. And we have the same anointing. We are anointed with the same spirit that he was anointed with. So, and that's an incredible kind of love that God would give towards the vessels of mercy. That they could be called the sons of God. That they would be made and he would treat them as his sons. The world doesn't know us because it knew him. It didn't know him. If it was going to know us, it would have known him. Because, as Jesus said, the servant is not above his master. It is good enough that the servant could be as his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've hated me, they're going to also hate you. If they had kept my sayings, they would keep yours also. This is similar to, I'm drawing from Gospel of John chapter 15. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they've not known me. You know, this is a drawing here directly from his gospel. But you notice, though John has a different way of speaking, the gospel he speaks is no different than the gospel Paul has taught, or the gospel Peter has taught, or the gospel John has taught. We are becoming the sons of God. God has ordained a certain way that we could do that, is that by through faith in him, we are conformed to a particular image, and that image is Christ. Now, at the same time, while it says what we're going to be, how we ought to be, how we ought to walk and to please God, there's also this element to which it does not appear what we shall be. Because we don't know precisely what that means. I mean, they even saw the resurrected Christ. And they didn't know what it was going to be like him. But we know when he appears, we will be like him. Not just in our character, in our way of behaving on the earth, but we will actually inherit with him the dominion, the crown, the rod. We will, and our bodies will inherit like his glorious body. Our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. What that exactly means is not, I mean, Paul spoke of it, but he spoke of it like a mystery. You know, it's like you sow a seed and something different comes up, but it's still the same thing that comes. I mean, you know, it's like the seed goes in the ground. I don't know if this will still stand up, but when we get to 1 Corinthians, we'll see. But of course, the seed is genetically identical to the plant. And though it be sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. Again, it's just an analogy, the idea of a plant being sown in the ground. But we are planted in the ground like a seed, and we come up. We're going to look the same, but we're also going to be very different. And then we will see him as he really is.